The name will send shivers through you when you hear it. Mr. Baseball.
Bob Uecker!
Uke was a comic force.
Yes, that's me. That's my hidden ball trick.
He had created his persona.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
And then everything flowed from that.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner.
That's a clip from Uke, the documentary. It's incredible. It opens up here just in a few days at Marcus Theaters. It's going to be really, really great. We're so excited to be joined in the studio by Barry Polterman, the producer of Uke, and Michael Volman, the director. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here with us.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
What a special treat this is. I guess when I think about this and I think about Bob Uecker's life, one of the things I wanted to ask you, and I guess I'll ask you, Barry, what is it about Bob Uecker's story that resonates not just with Wisconsinites, not just Milwaukeeans, but with Americans?
I think, you know, it's so rare that somebody, I don't think it's not unusual to really, really want something and love something and maybe not be as good as it as you wish you were. And then to take that and turn that into a career that embraces that thing and makes you one of the most important people in baseball. You know, here's somebody who grew up wanting to play in the major leagues and succeed and be one of the best. That didn't work out, and yet he turned it into one of the most amazing careers in the history of baseball. That is so inspirational. I think that's what I take away from it.
And we have the director, Michael, here. You met Bob Uecker. When?
Yeah. The first time we met him, we flew down to Scottsdale, Arizona. And we thought we were going to be pitching him on this idea to make a documentary. And we had our plans of what we were going to say and how we were going to describe it. And it turned into a three-hour lunch of him basically trying to tell us all his stories. And, honestly, we probably explained what we wanted to do for 5 or 10 minutes. And the rest of it was just him telling all those stories, personal things that we never even – some stories we never – had heard or could tell, but it was an absolutely great experience. And shortly thereafter, he was quickly on board, and we started. I think the next time we met him, it was in spring training. We started shooting with him.
So, Michael, we heard him here on this radio station every single day. We saw him in Mr. Belvedere and on Johnny Carson, the Miller Lite ads, and we could go through a lot of different things. What was he like away from the camera? What was he like when it was to two of you and maybe his wife sitting in the living room?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the ballpark, he was even more funny than I imagined he would be. I mean, you think when someone's an entertainer and they're on television or the radio, they're going to be funny and put on a show. But I think his nonchalant comedic talent was really on display at the ballpark, interacting with people, guys in the warehouse, his broadcast partners, the grounds crew, And then at home, I think I got the sense that when he was at home, he was more of a quiet guy. And I think he did keep his personal life pretty private. So being at his house and spending time at his kitchen table looking at through old photographs and things like that, I mean, it was really special. I think in the film, you'll feel those big moments in the ballpark, but then those quiet, intimate scenes really resonate.
How did his cancer affect the documentary, the development when you were going to release it?
Yeah, I mean, through the years, Uke has had battles with health, as anybody who's lived a long life would. He told Steve, my co-director, pretty early on, and, on a phone call they had, and he said, you can tell Michael, try not to tell anybody else. I'm dealing with this thing, small cell lung cancer, and we're going to try to do everything that we've talked about doing in this documentary. He really did honor. I was amazed by how he was able to kind of balance all the things he was doing between family, calling games, and then even had made time to spend with us.
So, Barry, you guys ended up knowing what none of us knew.
Well, I was just going to comment on the fact that I did not know. Steve and Michael honored what they told Bob, and they didn't tell any of us, the producers, that we did not know that that was happening until probably about a year later, before it was generally public. But there was a point where Steve called and said, hey, you need to know what's going on. So it was pretty well kept secret, even within our team.
still surprising, even though he passed away at 90, you know, because he was so larger than life.
Right, because we still heard him every day. I mean, he was going for treatment during the day and then coming to the ballpark and calling games and barely even able to get home. It's inspirational. And talking to you guys is inspirational because you got to capture that. You got to spend time with him. You got to meet his family in ways that the rest of us really didn't get to and tell his story. Was it hard to narrow down, Barry, what to even use? There, you could have done like a 1,000-hour documentary on Bob Uecker.
Well, we have a brilliant editor named Matt Prekop, and he made a brilliant 6-hour edit of the film that we started out with on Thanksgiving of it was Thanksgiving of last year. Mm-hmm. And Michael and Matt and myself and Steve got together and watched all of it, and then watched it again and made notes and put note cards up and just started cutting. You know, it was hard. There's so much good stuff and so much great archival. The balance of the current story, the current Brewers story of their season and what was happening with Bob, and then balancing that against just an amazing life. You know, how to make that work into one. We always try to make a documentary 90 minutes or less, you know. We didn't quite do it. We're at 92. We went a little over.
That's pretty close. You know? That's really close.
But it's really hard to take a life like this and boil it down.
What's one thing about Bob Uecker, Michael, that people will be surprised to learn?
Oh, man. You know, I think, you know, I think it was, I mean, people have heard that Bob Uecker was in the 1964 World Series. And he was a backup catcher. And before the World Series started, there was a Dixieland band playing on the field, and he grabbed a tuba and was shaking fly balls with the tuba. And you know, I think that story has been told, or it's been you've seen the pictures of it. They're kind of iconic. But through talking to him and his family, I think in some ways maybe he regretted doing that, or you know, he found out that the manager basically decided he wasn't going to play in the World Series because of that, you know, mischievousness. And I think maybe looking back, that was one regret, that he didn't actually get to play a single second in the 1964 World Series, despite having played with the team the whole year. And, you know, he did get a ring, but yeah.
Interesting. So I'll ask both of you, you guys can go, either one of you, Barry and Michael, what's your favorite part of the documentary?
Oh, that's easy for me. I get choked up every time I'm going to get choked up right now. The end of the first act, about 25 minutes in, where he walks into the stadium when you don't know if he's going to come back and do the next season, when he shouldn't come back, when everyone's telling him not to come back, and he walks in and gets a standing ovation. It's pretty amazing.
Michael?
Yeah. There's a lot of little moments. I mean, I feel like... I guess from a director standpoint, the time I enjoyed was being out on the boat with him, shooting him, you know, kind of out on Lake Michigan, and just that peacefulness and having the sort of intimate conversations. You know, the scene is a little bit more serious in the movie, but that's a scene or a moment during shooting that was really a nice moment.
You got him in a vulnerable moment.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
You know, we all at the station got to know Bob a little bit, not Michael in the same kind of situations you did, and none of us got to know his family. He was very private, and he was very good about compartmentalizing that. What was it like to spend time not just with Bob, but with his family and with the people he loved that are part of this story?
Yeah, I mean, I really got this sense that he, you know, he really kept his private life, in his personal life, private. And I think that was really important to him. And he kind of, you know, he wanted to make his family feel special by, you know, keeping things that were at the ballpark, you know, separate from his personal life. And, you know, just very welcoming guy. And one time I brought my kids over there, we were picking up some photographs or something like that. And, you know, it was very welcoming, offering the kids Dr. Peppers and some snacks. And, you know, just, we showed up and he had like a cutoff, you know, arm t-shirt, and he was like out, you know, like blowing leaves. And he had like this shirt that had the picture of his cardiologist on it. And you're just kind of like, this, it's just a nice, cool guy, you know, like who likes to do things around the house, cut his grass. And yeah.
Is there a lesson, Barry, from Bob Uecker's life that kind of stays with you as you've now become so intimate with his life and how he led it?
I think it kind of goes back to what I said at the beginning. You know, what you love doing, you should chase. And it doesn't always turn out the way that you hoped it would. You know, it's maybe it goes off in a different path. As filmmakers, everyone wants to be a director when they're young. And the reality is there's only so many. So people go off, they either give up and they do something else, or they figure out another pathway to be in that same world and find that joy. And Bob did that better then. And it's such a, I mean, how can you imagine somebody who's a good but not amazing ball player that then becomes a movie star, becomes a, they designed Mr. Belvedere for him because of how much he was beloved. The Miller Lite, to be up there with Rodney Dangerfield and all those celebrities in those Miller Lite ads and steal the show, be the main guy, you know, how do you do that? You know, it's amazing. And he did it by just saying, okay, that didn't quite work, but I'm going to do this now.
So Michael, if Bob Uecker were listening to this interview right now and you're going to see him afterwards, what would he give you feedback on? What would he tell you? Would he razz you? What would that moment be like?
There probably would be a little bit of razzing. I think, honestly, he'd probably say, "Why are you guys are talking about me too much? You know, we got to focus on other things. We got to, you know, focus. It's too much attention on me." Honestly, I think that's what he would have said. And you know, he didn't get a chance to see the finished film. He did see portions and some you know, rough scenes we had shot. But I think that's what he would have said about the film too. He would have been like, "Why? It's too much attention on me." You know, he was kind of modest in that way.
It's incredible. It's Uke. It's coming out. I think it opens in the theaters on Friday. It's in Marcus Theaters. Give our buddy Greg Marcus a little bit of business. Go to their website, get tickets. There are still some shows where the tickets are available. And here's the deal. If you see the show, it's going to stay around. If we show interest in this thing, it's going to continue to grow. So go ahead and get your tickets. It's in 17 Marcus Theaters. That's already a couple more theaters than it was supposed to be in. And it's going to run for at least a week. And we hope it expands. Barry Polterman is the producer of Uke, the documentary. Michael Volman is the director. Fantastic stuff. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much.